The Iron Game Chalk Talk podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefery.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefery's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefery.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefery, and this is episode number 77. Iron Game Chalk Talk is a weekly podcast where I bring you experts in the field to talk shop each week. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to us on iTunes or YouTube, or join our mailing list at ronmckeefery.com so that you can stay up to date with the latest episodes and anything else that I have going on. This week, we're excited to have Ethan Reeve with us. Ethan is a good buddy of mine. He's a guy that presented my master's jacket to me. He's been a head strength coach at Wake Forest for a long time, Ohio for a long time before that, has done it at a high level everywhere he's been, and, you know, just a real creative guy. We, you know, one of the things that I really respect about Ethan, we both have a wrestling background, and he's taken that wrestling background and really brought it to the weight room, and I've done that in my own career as well, and so he incorporates some tumbling, some calisthenics, and some, you know, some basic physical education that, you know, our school system's obviously getting away from. And so we talk about that. We talk about his density training. We talk a little bit about where the field's headed. And for him, he's been in it for a long time. And so he shares some great nuggets of wisdom with it. And just a great conversation. So I know you're going to enjoy it. Before we get started, I want to make sure we recognize our sponsors, EliteForm.com and Ignition APG. Ignition is a sports performance company based in Cincinnati, and you know, there's really just a couple things that, well, I mean, they have some great products. They have bands, and they have sleds, and they have a bunch of things, but there's two things that are really great. You know, one is their speed certification. You know, they have a speed certification, a seminar coming up on November 7th and 8th. This is going to go up just right before that, so I'd encourage you to reach out about that and follow up and see if it's something that you might be interested in. But, you know, with strength and conditioning and just trying to separate yourself out from the crowd, a speed certification is fantastic. And so I would definitely check that out. I did it last year. I thought very highly of it, and I know you would too. And then their protein powder is fantastic as well. And so I would encourage you to reach out to Ignition, like their Facebook page. They're always doing some great things. They're doing it the right way. Very active in the community and very active with their professional athletes. So check out Ignition. Lastly, you know, for young strength coaches, you know, I created a program called Strength Coach Basic Training quite some time ago. And we recently moved it over to Facebook so that it can have more of a community feel. So right now there's, you know, over 140 members there, you know, and as a young strength coach, that's the name of the game, right, is networking. And so with Facebook, it makes it really nice because you're able to interact with people right then and there. And so, you know, on the side here, we have the same 8 lectures that I give my interns still to this day. And it's everything from, you know, creating a strength and conditioning resume to designing the floor plan to an emergency action plan, you know, the whole deal. And so great program, great lecture series there. I recently added online strength resume as a bonus product to it. So you're able to go through the modules there. And that's basically for free there, being able to show you how to design your resume as a website, which I think is the next direction we're headed with technology. And so shows you how to do that from scratch. If you're just looking to start a blog or something, that you could use that for that as well. But what's cool is, like I said, you're able to go through, interact, post articles that you've done yourself, programs that you've created, get feedback, jobs, you know, and so we really try to keep you up to date with what's things that are going on. And we coordinate it with our internship program as well, so you get to see interns that I have going through the program and their assignments and projects. And so if you're young, just getting in the field, a GA, maybe don't have a whole lot of direction, I would strongly encourage you to check this out. So sit back, enjoy this episode. I know you're going to get a ton out of Coach Reeve, and we'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Excited to have the guy that had presented me with my master's jacket, Ethan Reeves, head strength coach Wake Forest, good friend of mine, known for a long time, one of the all-time greats. And Coach, I appreciate you taking the time coming on the show with us today.
Hey, man, it's an honor to be here.
Awesome. Well, hey, I know your background, you know, we've known each other for a long time, but not everybody knows, you know, the whole background. Talk a little bit about what got you into the field, and then what led you to your current position.
Well, I mean, it started out, you know, I've always had an interest in strength training and training. You know, even when I was in elementary school, when we were, you know, doing tumbling and running and all the warm ups, and it was very, very disciplined. We'd have an hour a day of physical education in the elementary school. And I got into sport, and I was one of those kids that couldn't sit still in classrooms. So phys ed was great for me. It helped me so I could do better in the classroom because it got the energy out of me a little bit. And got into wrestling and track and football and all the other things. Back in those days, there were no clubs, so we had to do it through, you know, when you get to junior high or middle school, that's when we started into, you know, sports. So, you know, I did everything that everybody else does. Football, did wrestling. I actually did wrestling and football, wrestling and basketball the same season, and ran track. And what I do is in the mornings during the winter, I do the basketball, and then I was on the varsity wrestling team as a seventh grader, you know, in the afternoons. So, it was great for me, and I loved sport. And I love to run, I love to train, love to do push-ups, love to do all those kind of things. And that's really how I got into it, you know, start then. You know, as an athlete, I won the state championship in Ohio and went on to the University of Tennessee. And then I got into Olympic lifting. And that's really where my wrestling really changed. I think I got a lot better, you know, when I started doing a lot of deep squatting, a lot of the cleans, jerks, snatches, those kind of things. I'm not saying we were going very heavy because back in those days there were no bumper weights. The platforms were not really good platforms. And so, it was all metal plates. You had to catch everything to let it down easily. And so we didn't really go real heavy except on some of the deadlifts and things. But, and then, you know, I coached Ron for many, many years in wrestling. And I think I bring something new, kind of like what Coach Cross brings, where he was a sport coach that got into strength and conditioning.
Yep.
And I think that was a great transition from an athlete to a sport coach to a strength coach. And I've done this for, over 25 years. So, you know, I love every bit of it.
With all kinds of success, for sure. And, you mentioned... And this is one of the things that I've always respected about you because, you know, we're both old wrestlers and love what that sport does for you from a mindset, a mental toughness, and from just a physiological perspective, you know, the tumbling and the calisthenics and the body awareness that you develop as a wrestler, I think is something that is the missing ingredient in a lot of success in sport. And I know you incorporate tumbling, you incorporate calisthenics into your warm-ups. Talk about some of the ways, you know, why, you know, first, you were one of the first guys that I've seen at a major institution do that, but then kind of how are some of the ways that you've been able to integrate that into your training?
Well, you know, it started, you know, of course, you know, in wrestling, a lot of wrestling teams, they do calisthenics and tumbling almost every day.
Yep.
I mean, that's part of the thing, walking on your hands, diving rolls, backward rolls, split rolls, four rolls, all the different things. What happens is inside your ears, you have fluid inside your ears. And what when you do it, just a simple thing, do three, four, five, four rolls in a row, you get up and you're dizzy if you're not accustomed to this. What I have found is that the athletes that do this over a period of time, you don't have to spend more than 2 or 3 minutes a day doing it. It's real quick. But what happens is you do it every day or at least 2 or 3 times a week or whatever, whenever you can do it. What happens is when they get to where they're not as dizzy, they learn to focus their eyes better and also they become better athletes. I've seen it without fail. The ones that can do this and they start doing cartwheels and dive rolls, not only do they get better body awareness, but that kinesthetic and spatial awareness, where they are in space, in scramble situations, they're much better.
Right.
And I've seen this, like we're doing it with our tennis players right now. I've taken over tennis, and I've got a guy that's won the Wimbledon, junior Wimbledon. And wow. He's learned how to do cartwheels. He's doing four rolls. A pretty good athlete, but he's going to get better.
Right.
That's the whole thing, is what can we do to make him better athlete? And maximize their athletic potential. And tumbling and gymnastics and calisthenics, I think, is a kind of a lost art. I think it's good for us to kind of go back to those things. You know, back in our days, back in the 60s, you know, when I was going through in the early 60s, this was all we had.
Right.
We didn't really have weight training. You know, there were no kettlebells. Kettlebells, even though there's an old way of training in the Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc countries, we didn't really have those things back in our days. So weightlifting was not really big for us. It was mostly bodyweight calisthenics,
gyms,
dips, push-ups, Hindu squats, and all that kind of stuff. That's how we train.
Well, when you talk about, you know, the other piece of our job, obviously there's the performance enhancement part, but then there's the, you know, the reducing the risk of injury and training for all the components of athleticism, not just speed and power and strength, but it's also balance and coordination and kinesthetic awareness and skill acquisition and all those things that contribute to you being a better athlete and thus making you a safer athlete, you know, more robust and fluid athlete. You know, I agree with you. You know, those defensive linemen, those offensive linemen getting rolled up on, if they haven't been able to learn how to know where their body is in space, it is going to lead to injury. And with this kid's being a Generation IY and you know, growing up on the video games instead of jumping out of trees and falling and, you know, things along those lines, that's where we're heading. And you make the great point of it's even being taken out of our school system now, which is disheartening.
Yes. Yeah, you know, you bring up that point. Look, when you do a forward roll and you get a nice tuck, you know, you're at your waist and the knees and ankles, and you have to go through without putting your hands down to come out of that, boy, your Achilles tendon gets flexible. Your ankles are more flexible. Your knees, your quads, your back, everything becomes more flexible. You start doing bear crawls and crab crawls and things of that nature. Man, your fluidity of movement, it's joint mobility is what we're looking for. And, you know, that's why, Ron, I've always been a real proponent of deep squatting as opposed to heavy squatting. I don't get me wrong. I want them to put weight on the bar.
Sure.
And get a good amount of weight on there, but I would prefer them to be able to go to where they can put their hamstrings on their calves and at a good, you know, a reasonable speed and be able to fire out of there. And they're more powerful, they're more athletic. And you mentioned this about getting rolled up on. Well, you get hit from behind, you get rolled up. If you have a guy that has not squatted deep, he's not tumbled, he's not got that flexibility, you can lose an ACL in a split second.
Sure.
But if he's flexible, tends to learn to roll with things. He can roll with the punch, you know, and
absolutely
sort of thing. And that really is something I think a lot of guys like Joe Kent with Carolina Panthers is doing a lot more than calisthenic type things. And I think you're going to see a lot of people tend to go back to those things, or at least initially to make sure their athletes can squat deep. They do have the flexibility and that sort of thing. Either prior to or while we're trying to get them stronger, either in Olympic lifting or powerlifting, whatever ways that we train.
Well, what's great about that is you know, one of the first things they teach you when you are a true competitive Olympic lifter is how to miss the weight. right? You know, and that, and it's, and it, you know, when you learn how to miss, then you're not, you know, you're not scared of getting underweight. And it's the same thing with sport is when you learn to fall and fall properly, you know, and not brace, you know, then you're going to protect shoulders. You're going to protect knees. You're going to protect wrists and things along those lines. And, you know, it's just something that, again, isn't being taught right now because we're taking it out of the school system or we're not implementing it into our programs. And I think it was something that you're very keen on, you know, early in your career. And it's something that you're right. We all need to be going back to.
Well, you know, when you go back to the physical education, I think, you know, for the guys like you and me, we were probably very active and we needed that activity when we were young. We're better students when we have that activity. You know, we had an hour of phys ed, plus we also had recess, you know, free play. Yeah. And, you know, that helped me to be better at math and other things because I could, you know, I was, what is it, more calm after I got through a workout. You know, you're relaxing.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people are like that. And I think we're cheating some kids that are like that. I think they'll do better academically if they're just a little bit more active, even if it's just walking.
You know, no, I agree.
Stretching or whatever, doing something.
We just had a conversation with my wife. My son got in trouble last night, and I asked him why he got in trouble and the whole deal. And what it boiled down to was that he was stuck in the house all day long, and so it led to him being so wound up that he got himself in trouble. And you're absolutely right. You know. Coach, you know, you've been at a variety of places, and pretty much everywhere you've been, you've had to develop athletes, you know, at Ohio U, at Wake Forest. I mean, you weren't necessarily given the five-star kid at both those places, you know, and you've developed them. One of the programs that you've used to do that is density training. You know, talk a little bit about density training and how you implemented that into your program.
Yeah, you know, well, you mentioned that about developing kids. First of all, I've never used an excuse about not having athletes. I think that's some of it comes out openly and says we don't have the athletes is admitting they can't coach. My thing is what you do is you have what you have.
Right.
These are the kids that are in front of you. How can I help these kids get better? Now, you know that being a strength coach is different than being a sport coach. When I was a wrestling coach, I had really more control how our guys went to do in competition than the strength coach would have had.
Right.
We have some ability to develop them athletically to maximize their potential. So that's what we do. How do we maximize that potential? And a couple of things I think really important that I found all along is how can I make them better athletes? That's number one. My thing is to make them better athletes. And I found the guys that maximize your athletic potential, and along with another thing, are they mentally and physically tough? Are they fighters? Are they brawlers? And what you're wanting, Ron, is in that moment, that focus of that moment, of that repetition, of that drill, or whatever, my thing is to keep that to a short duration so that they give their best effort, and then I give them enough time to relax and rest so I can ask them to do that same effort again. I want to keep that. So the thing is to keep the efforts in short duration so they can really focus and give their best effort in that moment of time that you want them to do. Because that's how you make a play in football.
Right.
That's how you make a play in wrestling. That's how it's in that moment of time that you do it. We're not long distance runners. I mean, although that's a great sport in and of itself, but ours is that brief moment of intensity that we're really looking at. That's the key. And that's where density comes in. You know, density really came from, you know, when I was a kid in the seventh grade, my coach told me that, you know, you got to do push-ups. That'll really help your wrestling. So, but he never gave me any guidance. So here I am in the seventh grade doing 500 push-ups a day. I found the best way to do it. So I'm going to do 10 push-ups every 60 seconds for 50 minutes. Now, sometimes I do 250 in the morning, sometimes 250 at night.
Right.
But if I want to make sure that there's best effort and good, you know, all the way down touch, all the way up, lock it out, then my thing was, if I'm going to do it, I need to keep those numbers light. Now, they're small. So 10 push-ups is really not that hard. It's a little bit harder for me to
Sure.
When I was in the seventh and eighth grade. But I did that all through, really, from the eighth grade to my 12th grade year. And I actually used that same sort of thing when I started doing Olympic lifting. I also did that, used that same sort of philosophy when I coached wrestling. You know, like you and I might go in and wrestle, we might do a 3-3 exchange on takedown.
Right.
Get a fireman's carry, an outside carry, and a snapdown. You come up, you get a fireman's carry, outside carry, snapdown. And we do that, repeat those efforts. But when I go, I need to make sure it's like I'm hitting competition speed. Bam, bam, bam. You know, I want to make sure it's explosive and I've really focused on the technique.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's what density is. So what I found was the best numbers or the best intensities for density was between about 70% to about 85%. And how did I come up with the numbers? Because I changed it from what I did with the 500 push-ups. I actually did it off of one rep maxes. So if you predict, let's say that you have a predicted rep max at 70% is 12 reps. I had gone through years trying to find what is a different volume in order to, you know, like the weekly volume, how can I get the best out of it? Let's say I'm doing a powerlifting at 70%. I found to double the volume of that rep max. So I would do 24 reps instead of 12 reps, but I would break it down into smaller pieces. So I do 8 sets of 3. But I try to do those 8 sets of 3 in about a minute to a minute and 15 seconds. Every time it hits, let's say it double zeros, I'm going to hit 3 again.
Right.
But I've got 50 seconds to rest for that ATP system to build back in, and then I hit it again.
Right.
I've done 8 sets, but I'm finished in 8 minutes.
Right.
People say, well, that's a lot, but I've done it in 8 minutes. Now, you know, if you go to 80%, that's like a 16, that's like an 8 rep max. So I double the volume. If the lift, which is very important, I double that volume. So I'm going to do 8 doubles in 8 minutes.
Yep.
You see how it goes? And what I found was the kids could focus on those doubles. And to focus on that rep, they're short, but they have enough rest to recuperate, to come back, and then go again. And that's really how that came about. Now, this may not be the best for hypertrophy. This
right.
is not advanced building. You do other things for developing mass and stuff. But if I really want to focus on hitting good numbers and getting good effort, that's what I did. And, you know, using this type of method along with climbing method that I also use, we would have, you know, we had a 5-year span where we had between 50 and 58 guys that could power clean without straps over 300 pounds. We had plenty of guys that could do over 400 pounds. But they could focus in that moment of time, that effort and focus that we needed them to do. And I think that is a great way to transfer to the field. It just so happened that those numbers were good. We also were better football players. We're also better basketball players. You understand?
Right.
And that's kind of what I'm really looking for that. I'm looking for fighters. I'm looking for brawlers. I'm looking for guys that are focused and intense in that moment of time.
Right. So you would do those. You would do that with your compound lift or your core lift for the day. And then,
yes.
And then coming back with, now how would you program the rest of your day then?
Well, let's say that you're, you know, I actually do that sort of thing even with bleacher runs. I do it with sprints. I do it with agility drills like cone drills or bag drills or anything else. You make sure they have enough rest in between, but you're looking for that 100% effort when they go,
right.
But enough rest to recuperate. I don't really think of a hypertrophy when I do the big lifts. Like if I'm doing a deadlift, I'm thinking about
right.
The focus and the intensity and the power and that kind of stuff and repeat those efforts again. But when you're trying to get mass, if you've already done things like a front squat and a power clean or a deadlift to start out your workout, you've already kicked in testosterone and growth hormone naturally into your system.
Right.
So now what you can do is if you need to develop some mass, that's when you can do some repetition, more repetition like on dumbbells or standing presses or rows and things like that. And that's
sure.
Where you get that mass built up a little bit.
So when you would keep guys in a rack of three or a rack of four probably when you were doing this, and so all four guys are getting through in about 8.5, 9 minutes or so.
Yes.
And
yeah, the best numbers for the density usually about 2 to 3 guys on a station.
Gotcha.
Three works great because look, if I get it, like you and I are together, and I do my double at 80%, I put that weight down, make sure it's set. You come in, you hit your double. We both are resting.
Right.
We come back again. As soon as I hit my double, I turn to you and if I'm a good leader, I'm looking for leadership too. I talk to the guy that's up next.
Right.
Encourage you. Because look, you know how wrestling is.
Yep.
Wrestling champions come in pairs. You do not do this by yourself. You cannot forget that thing where I'm going to go work out by myself. I had the pleasure to work out with Dan Gable before he won the Olympics, and I saw, and I was a high school kid, and he came to my room and we did dumbbell work and stuff. Hey, you do those things together.
Yeah.
You have to be run with, something you wrestle with. You can't do this by yourself.
No doubt.
Actually, I like it when you have larger groups of people working together. It's motivating.
No doubt.
You're getting after it, you know.
No, I agree with you 100% on that. And that's one of the things that makes that sport such a great sport as well, is that it's you're forced to learn it, you know.
Yeah.
So it humbles you quick.
There are days when you're not going to feel good, I'm going to call you a candy ass and all that kind of stuff, and you're going to jump on me when I'm feeling down.
Yep.
But there are days when you need to pull me out.
That's right.
I need some help, and that's what happens with teams. That's normally what you do. And the more you can get those guys together, doing those kinds of things, pushing each other, working together, and the density just happens to work very, very well with that. And it doesn't take a lot of time. You come in there, blast it, boom, you're out. You're gone.
That's great. That's great. Well, Cody, you mentioned early on, I mean, this is 25 years or whatever it's been for you in this field. I mean, you've seen you've seen it grow, and you've seen it grow to what it is, and know how much work it's taken to get to the point it's at now. But you also know that it's headed in a new direction as well. You know, where do you see the field headed, and what kind of advice would you have for a young coach right now?
Well, there are certain things that I think that will probably always be, Ron. I think we're still educators. We're still teachers. We still have to. I think a lot of people that are in technology, they need to realize that you have to be a people person, and you have to be able to motivate, work with kids, and that kind of thing. And that means you got to be somebody that loves people. You got to care about people. You know, you also have to care about education. My mother she raised 5 children by herself. She was an elementary school teacher, and her thing that I learned, one of probably my best role model, is education is a lifelong experience. You just continue to grow and get better and keep trying to learn. You know, you're showing me how to set up Skype, which, these are things I have to learn. I've got assistant coaches that have worked with us that know about the GPS. I need to keep learning.
Right.
But even deep down inside, you've got to step out of those platforms, out on that running field, or out on those bleachers. And you've got to bring a group of guys or gals or whatever together, and you've got to motivate them to give their best effort so that they can maximize that potential so that they can get better. What are you going to do? And I think that's where a lot of us, some of the older guys, have some experience. My degree is in education. You know, it's not technology. It's not science. It's in education. It's a matter of how you work with people.
Right.
I'm looking, Ron, I'm hoping that for our older, you know, as you've been through it, that we have positions for administratively for our older strength coaches to go into.
Absolutely.
So that they can run a department. You know, maybe they don't really coach as much. Maybe they don't work as much, but they oversee and they're there to help those young coaches.
Right.
They give them guidance or at least to be there to help them out, to give them what they need. I see that. But now when you talk about the technology, holy mackerel, I mean, with heart rate monitors and GPS systems and all the different things going on and all the knowledge, I think what's good about some of those things that I see is that we can share that knowledge better with our sport coaches to inform decisions on how they're going to run workouts.
Right.
I can just tell you, as a sport coach, if you're trying to win, you need to also be able to give your kids a chance to win by not taking out of them by having such long practice. I learned early on in my career that I could have long workouts, but once season started, I found the best time for practice was about 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But during those 90 minutes, it's going to be broken noses and cauliflower ears and
right.
to get after it. I need that intensity for that 90 minutes. But those kids can recuperate from that. Well, the information that we can give is GPS and the heart rate monitors and all this technology is we can share that with our sport coaches so that they learn how to periodize like we've learned
right.
in strength coaching. Most of our strength coaches do a really good job of periodization. It's sometimes the sport coaches that you're sitting at the end of the season and they're still doing 3-hour practice.
Right.
And you wonder, holy mackerel. And then they wonder why the kids hate the sport or why they don't give their great effort when they go and compete.
Right.
We can tell them, but now we actually have data to back that up, and that informs those decisions a little bit better. And I think that's some of the things that I'm seeing.
I agree.
Are you seeing that as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, and like you said earlier, I mean, I think, there's the model out there. We've talked about it on the show with this high-performance manager and in European countries or Olympic sport countries. You know, that person's always a strength, and not always, but most of the time is a strength coach because they're able to blend the coaching with the science. And, and that's where, these head coaches, they rely so much and they trust so much the word of the strength coach that there's a unique dynamic there that's not really replicated in the other auxiliary positions, I guess you would say. But we have an advantage.
I was going to say something on this. You know, I happened to, back in 1993, I was at a high school in Chattanooga, yep. College school, and I got to work with the world rowers. If you know anything about rowing, it's you get one stick and you pull on the stick and your boat goes backwards.
Right.
That's really. I didn't know that much about rowing, but I'd have them doing things. I mean, I had these girls wrestling. I had them tumbling. I had them running bleachers, and we did a lot of Olympic lifting and deep squatting and things like that. But what happened was we had after the first year we went from when I inherited them. In 93 in fall, they just got back from world championships when they got one bronze medal. And, usually this system, you know how it is. It takes a year to 2 years to really get your system in play.
Yep.
But what happens, and the beauty of it is we had the heart rate monitors, and it informed us that the coach sometimes is overtraining them. He's overdoing it. So what we did is we agreed to a model, a 4-day model. And it's a real simple thing. On day one, he'd go hard, high volume, intensity, whatever, and I'd use the same day, and I'd push it away from the same day. Then on the next day, we come in, and we basically just stretch, light calisthenics, maybe get a ladder going, and I'd kick him out. And he would go light in the boat. He wouldn't do much. And then on the third day, we did about medium. And then on day four, no matter when it fell, wherever it fell, what day of the week it fell, that was their day off. So, in rowing, you have a double boat, you have a quad, you have an eight.
Right.
What we found was, or what happened from doing that particular type thing, a real simple thing, real simple periodization. We went from the first year we went from bronze to one silver. But the second year when we put in that periodization, we went from one silver to four gold and silver.
Wow.
Out of possible six. And it was a way for me to communicate. And that's what I'm saying, this GPS stuff and all this technology can help. So I think these performance things you're seeing, we're able to help those sport coaches.
No doubt.
But you're still going to need a strength coach. You still need all these, the strength coach is going to be very valuable.
I agree.
Forever. It's always going to be valuable.
Well, I agree 100%. And you know, not even talking the technology piece and the high performance piece, but it's also, I mean, our job isn't just the X's and O's of strength and conditioning anymore. It's the psychology of the athletes, it's the pulse of the team, it's all these things. And so it's going to continue to evolve. And I think that's, you know, where our young coaches that are listening, It's you got to have the meat and potatoes. You got to know the X's and O's of periodization and things along those lines. But it's having unique experiences and unique things that you're going to bring to the table, disciplines that you're going to bring to the table that are going to help get you hired. You know, that's going to stand out. Because I mean, I'm sure you're like me, where I try to hire my weaknesses. You know,
yeah.
I try to hire places that I you know, I'm not as strong there, so I need somebody to come in and do that, and so
but
the more.
I know that's wrong because you have a quality. You're very open minded. If I've got a lot of things that I still like because I know that works. But as we get older, if we close our minds down, we just don't get any better. And you've got to keep your mind open. But there are still some things that still work. You know. From the days of Bill Starr, even the bigger, faster, stronger, Gale Hatch, there are things that still work today that will still continue to work, and that they're good. But that getting on this communication thing is how you communicate with those kids is big.
No doubt.
But what's really big is if you have a sport coach, you need to be very close. That sport coach. You need to be like buddies. You know what I mean?
Right.
Working together. Because if he doesn't have your back,
it's gonna be a long road.
It's gonna be very difficult. You can't do it. You know, you can't impress upon him the importance of these things and how it works. And you know, and when you get a new sport coach that you start to work with, it's a new adventure. It's gonna take some work.
No doubt. Well, that's where, like we talked about. I mean, if you're just book smart and just have, you know, you're going to tend to overspeak or you're going to try to outsmart them. And it's just like, you know, sometimes you just dumb it down so I know what's going on, you know. And you got to.
Yeah, a good strength coach could take head left arm curls and win a state championship.
Right.
He's got those guys motivated. They believe in it.
That's right.
They could do it. It sounds good to have all the science and all these different things. And I'm about science. I'm about all that stuff.
Right.
But it's also about getting those kids fired up and ready to go. And I think the big thing, Ron, is you just don't take everything out of them. They don't need to walk out or crawl out of the weight room every day. It's all right to be a rep short or something. They don't have to be dead.
Right.
When they have a lather, it's good to get that flexibility, get good pump and stuff. But it's a lot of times it's good to leave the room with that good effort, but walk out of that room.
Absolutely.
And feel good.
Well, I think, you know, what you said earlier, too, and, you know, as far as, you know, so leave some things in the program, so, you know, there's some good stuff, you know, through the years, and one of those things is being the hard work factor, you know, and being able to really push your body to places that you didn't know that it could go. I mean, you got to be smart in your program, so like you said, when it's a heavy day, go heavy. When it's a medium day, go medium. But you have to plan that out. But when it's a hard day, it's a hard day, and it's time to go. And our kids, you know, anymore, it's, you know.
Well, that's what happened when I was doing the density. I could always use those wrestlers as guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Should they do anything?
Yeah.
And I really found that what I was doing was overdoing it.
Sure.
But you know, you got to push the envelope, son.
Yeah.
You know, that's what champions do, and. You're going to do it. You know, guys like Dan Gable, he wasn't great by holding back.
Right.
He was great because he pushed it hard.
That's right.
Sometimes you can overdo it, but that's where champions are made.
That's awesome. Well, Coach, I know you're busy. We kind of always end these shows with some resources here. So give us the best piece of coaching advice you've ever received.
I go back to you know, what my mother said, education, lifelong experience. I think it's very good. I was blessed, very happy. You know, I had some great wrestling coaches, But I had this one guy in particular, Myron Roderick, who was at Oklahoma State in wrestling, and his thing was about movement. And I carried that on. When I look at athleticism, it's about movement. If you can't move, you can't help us. You know, you can be as strong as a bull, you can have all this strength and all this stuff, but if you can't move, you can't help us.
Sure.
And that's what I really look at, maximizing that potential and stuff. But I've been really fortunate to have been around a lot of great strength coaches and been influenced by great strength coaches, but also great wrestling coaches. And what I tend to do with that experience for most people is I tended to bring my experience from wrestling into strength and conditioning.
Sure.
Like if you look at a pod, if you look at a platform, that to me was like a circle in a wrestling room. And I put two or three guys in there, and we're going to drill. We're going to wrestle. And so the more pods that I had, the more people I had in there, the more I could get things.
That's better. Good.
And so I think I carried basically wrestling itself into the strength and conditioning.
Sure. What about a motivational quote that you've used through the years?
Well, you know, I always tell a story. This is kind of a long story. You got a minute?
Yeah, I got a minute.
Okay. You know, I told a story about, it's a tiger story. And this is something I got when I was about a sophomore in high school. I felt the need to think and to be calm and relaxed and that kind of thing. But it was imagine this man, he's walking down in this field. He comes upon this tiger. The tiger gives chase. The man is running for his life. And as he's running for his life, he dives over this cliff. And about midway down the cliff, he grasps onto this vine. And he's holding onto that vine for dear life. And to his dismay, directly above him on that cliff is that tiger. And he can hear the growl and feel the hot breath of that tiger. But directly below him is another tiger. Wait for him to drop off, and it's just walking around waiting. Right above where his hands are placed on the vine are two mice. One's black and one is white, and they're gnawing on the vine. But right in front of him is this like earthen ledge, and there's this plant. Right in the middle of the plant is this strawberry. So he grasps on with his left hand as tight as he can to the vine. He takes his right hand, he reaches right over into that plant, pulls it up, closes his eyes, and thinks to himself, how sweet it tastes. Now, with every one of these, you know, characters, there's some meaning. The tiger above him on the ledge is his past life. If you try to relive the past, you try to go back in the past, then what happens? You get eaten up by it. The tiger down below is your sure and ultimate death. None of us leave this world alive. We're all going to die. Whatever you think is going to happen after this, that's up to you, but
right.
It doesn't matter. We're all going to go. The two mice on the vine is just day and night. It's time ticking away. So you have day and night. It's ticking away. Best thing going to gnaw through, you're done, and you're going to be eaten up by the tiger. But that ledge in front of you is the present moment. And there's nothing more important in the moment that you live in. Like right now, we're doing this podcast.
Right.
We're sharing these experiences. We're talking stuff. You have a movie if you're in your mind, and I've got a movie in my mind. And when we meet, we share each other's movies at times.
Sure.
We're together. But what happens is there's nothing more important than that moment. When you're at work and you're getting to work with those athletes, like you said, you already had four workouts, there's nothing more important than those athletes in each one of those workouts in that moment of time. You cannot think of your family, your wife, and things like that. You got to think about those kids. But when you go home, you got to divorce yourself from work, and those kids need your attention. Your wife needs your attention.
Absolutely.
And when you live in those, in that moment, you have no worries. You have no problems. And I find myself sometimes worrying about something that might or could happen. And then when I pull myself back together and I think about this story, I have no problems. I have no worries. I live in that moment. I live in that moment of time. And it helps me to center.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the density we talked about. In that moment.
Sure.
In that moment of time.
Goes hard as you can. Yep.
Best friend.
No, that's great. No, I'm going to use that one. Let's do that one. What about, a book recommendation and an app if you have one and then websites that you go to?
Well, my thing is, I like guys like Bill Starr,
Sure.
Anything you can get from Bud Chernega for the Soviet training is big. I still like the old Bigger, Faster, Stronger. And I like Boyd Eppley's Nebraska, some of the old books from Nebraska. You know, here's what I found, basically, is all these things work. All these things are good. It's the intensity that you put into it. I think if you read anything from Doc Kreese or Mike Gentry or Louis Simmons, and I like Pavel Satsula. I think he's good. He's gotten into more of the bodyweight stuff with his kettlebells and deadlifts. But, you know, I look at those different things. You know how when you – I know you know this. I mean, I know you do this.
Right.
When you watch something and you see a skill or a lift or whatever's going on and you see it being done or somebody's coaching a certain way, you go, wow.
Yep.
That's right. It's like there's a zen. There's a way to doing it. And that coach has figured out. I've watched Nick Saban for years. And I say, he's got it.
Yep.
He's got it. And I see that with some other coaches as well. I love watching not only strength coaches, but sport coaches of all sports. And I appreciate what they're doing. It's like they found that zen. They found that way.
Yep.
And that's what I'm looking at. But it's a feel that I have. I go, ooh, that's good. Yeah, just love it. And then given those names right there, you know, like a Johnny Parker, my gosh, very humble guy. And that's kind of, you know, it's like me, man. I wake up every morning and say, you know, today's a great day. I'm glad I'm alive. I get another day to live. And, you know, it's fun. I'm having a great time.
Absolutely, Coach. Well, you add your name to that list as well, man. And it's definitely been that for me. And like I said, I mean, you're the guy that presented me with my jacket. Means a lot, and you know, just what I know what you've done for this field, and I know what you continue to do by putting on a clinic each year, and by, you know, getting speakers for the CSCCA conference, and being on the board there, and all the things that you're doing. So we owe you a debt of gratitude as a profession, and truly appreciate what you're about, the way you do it, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, buddy. We'll see you.
All right. See you now.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out RonMcKeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @RMcKeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @Ron.McKeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.